Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty, powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. So that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are? Them called you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. First Peter 2 and 6, a pleasure for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark, into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we were the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people. Chosen people, royal priesthood.
Royalty.
Hallelujah. 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 Todah Avayah. Shabbat Shalom, family. Welcome once again to Kol Elohim here at Elite Culture. I'm your brother Ariel. Want to thank Abba for not letting me give in. Not letting me give in to Satan devices. What a rough day. What a rough day. Trust me. Very, very rough day. Very rough day. One of the sisters said something in one of the texts earlier when we was texting back and forth, praising and encouraging one another, which I love that. Love that. I'm quite sure Abba love it too. when his kids encourage one another, because, you know, that's what reading all through the scriptures, that's what it talks about, encourage one another, you know. Help one another out, strengthen one another, because it ain't easy. It ain't easy. Matter of fact, let me open up with a prayer. Toda Abia, once again, for giving me the opportunity to talk to your people, Father, for talking through me, Father. But Father, you know what type of day I had today, Father, and you know that I tried to call in, you know, literally tried to call in, but you wouldn't let it, Father. You wouldn't let me call in. So I thank you for that, Father. It must be something you want the people to hear. So allow me to speak, Father, with holy no bars, Father, speaking your truth and only your truth, Father, and giving your word, Father, your word of encouragement, Father, in these perilous times, Father. I ask that you watch over those who are ailing, Father, all of Zakins, Father, all of Yaladid, Father, all of Kohanim, all of Akoti, Father, everybody, Father, all Yisrael, Father, especially those who are taking part in this Shabbat day today, Father. Give them their Shabbat blessing, Father. Let them know if they just take their hand and put it to your Shabbat, it is a blessing there, Father. But a special quest, Father, for Danielle, Father, that you cover her, Father, that you keep her, Father, that you are the one in control of everything, Abba, and her parents, Father. Brother Shafu L and Sister Malka, Father, strengthen them, Father. Let them know that you have her, Father. And for everybody else, Father, Sister Tashubia, Father, watch over him. All, everybody's kids, Father. Everybody. Touch him, Father. Let everybody know that you was on the throne and can't nobody put you off. If we acknowledge you in all our ways, first and foremost, you would direct our paths. So, Tada Rabbi, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Yes, family, this is not going to be long tonight. Pray for me. No, I don't know how long it's going to be, honestly. Somebody shoot me a text, let me know I'm sounding okay. But it was a rough day today, family. A rough, rough day. But I think that was Sister Tashubia when she sent out a text earlier. Tashubia sent out a text earlier, and she was talking about, since we are trying to get back right, I'm paraphrasing, we're getting back right in our Toda Aki, Toda. We're getting back right. We are revealing ourselves more and more, I'm going to say, to one another. We are opening up. We have been chastised by Abba. And we have heard the call. We have heard the call to get right. And somebody else heard that call too. Satan, he heard that. Oh, no, I can't. Not them. Not them. No, they on the point. They on point for all the scriptures. They on point. But if they get their act right with Abba, there's nothing I can do to them. So let me rise up. As much commotion, as much foolishness in their lives as I can. And this week, before I read the sister's text, what came to my mind, I believe it was yesterday as I was driving, and I was thinking about running through some things that was bothering me on my mind. And it came to me that this is my thorn in my flesh. This is the thorn in my flesh. Because, you know, when I think of where I come from and what I've been through, and then when I even think of as a whole, Bet Yahweh, where Abba has brought us and how he has given us his word, unadulterated, with no cuts. He has given us something 20 years ago, when I first came in the door, probably 30, 40 years ago, and we heard something. And today, we get understanding from it. And it just, like, it opens your mind and it blows you when you're like, wow, I heard it, but I didn't understand it. You know, finally he gave me the understanding for, but it's not just that. It's like when Yahushua took the Talmudim, the disciples, to the side and says, It's not given to them to know the secrets of the kingdom, but unto y'all. And, you know, and I feel as though that's us. We are in that y'all part. We are in the part where as though we are being taken to your side, to the side, and we are given secrets of the kingdom. You know, we're becoming, as Rabbi Shaul, that knowledge is engulfed with us. And I'm not bragging. I'm not saying nobody else in the world has that, which I'm quite sure they do. But it's far few in between. So to keep us calling out to him, Abba, and to keep us humble, we get thorns in the flesh. So you know the flesh. We understand the flesh, and we know it. We won't do that if everything is always on the smooth ride. Everything is so smooth, and we just getting knowledge, and we never go through bumps as we was getting knowledge. And, you know, I believe that what happened to our brother Job, which Yahweh just showed me that that's what happened to him. He was becoming self-righteous. So Yahweh had to give him a thorn in his flesh to show him where he was. You know, and we all probably have thorns in our flesh. We all probably can look at our own lives and say, this is my thorn in my flesh, just right here, so I can stay humble and stay in Yahweh's mercy. Stay asking for Yahweh's mercy. Stay asking for Yahweh's grace. You know, and Abba know how to do it. He know how to get our attention. He know how to get us on our knees. He definitely do that. He definitely know how to get us on our knees. But as I was talking earlier, somebody else heard that. Somebody else hears your prayers when you're praying to Abba. Somebody else hear when you say exclamation to Abba that I'm going to do this. He hears that too. So here he comes with everything and the kitchen, the house and the kitchen sink, the whole house he's throwing at you. Especially, excuse me, in these days and time, it's like he has to amp up his attacks because he know he had but a short time. So his attacks are coming more frequent, and not just more frequent, they're becoming more personal. You know, I mean, so personal that they hitting home. And I heard some true things, you know, that hurted me. No. You know, it hurts when you hear about one of the daughters going through problems, one of the sons going through problems, because we are family. We all are one. Matter of fact, even bothers you when you hear husband and wives go through problems. Like, what? No, not them. Not the believers. But it bothers you because we mishpacha, we family. Bothers you when you hear somebody get sick. Somebody's fighting this disease. Somebody fighting that disease. It bothers you. But that's another thorn, because that's how Yahweh pulls us together, pulls us and make us get together and pray for this sister. Let's get together and pray for this brother. We got to pray for our Zakins more often. We got to speak to one another more often. You know, me and my brother Harvey, I believe we talked almost every day this week. And that was only because of something that I shared last week. And you're like, oh, I didn't know my brother was going through that. Let me call my brother. You know, I'm just calling to check on you. And that's what he did. He called me this week and he checked on me. We got a chance to talk, got a chance to laugh, and got a chance to share that spirit. Got a chance to come together. So when we two come together and Yahweh show his name, Yahweh show was there. So we got a feel of one another. And we need to do that more often so we get these thorns in the flesh so we can cry out Abba, so we can ask for his mercy, so we can ask Abba to be in the midst of us, so we can always call out Abba. And know these thorns in the flesh, they don't feel good. They don't feel good. They pangs us. And I thought about a scripture that I'm not going to read it, but I thought about it, what Brother Shaul said, what can separate me from the love of Yah? You know, And when you're going through what you're going through, you probably could say, you know what, Brother Shaul? You didn't have a wife. You didn't have a husband. You didn't even have to go out there and work the way I got to go out there and work. You didn't have to take care of kids. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do that. And trust and believe, we know and understand what Brother Shaul said. But when you're in that, that's where your mind go. I'm being honest. Your mind go there. Shaul, you didn't have to worry about what we worry about. You know, but human nature still is the same. But the world has truly changed. The world has truly changed. And especially if you, the man in the house, is so much more on your plate. You have to keep things in order. There's so much more. Then if you not just the man in the house, but you the one that everybody looks to when they down, that you got the word to bring to them. You got to be the one that's always on point with the spirit, and you can never have a bad day. Which that's not true, because we have bad days all the time. We may not show it all the time, but we have bad days. We have good days like everybody else. We have bad days like everybody else. Why? Because we're human, and we go through emotions. And one of the most battles we have to battle is ourselves. We battle so much. The main battle is ourselves, trying to defeat who we are and trying to keep that person down. Believe me, Sean Kelly try to rise up all the time, but I have to try to keep Yah in the front so Ariel can appear. But then Sean don't want to give up. Sean don't want to give up. He want to keep rising up, and that's what we talked about this past Shabbat, about the imaginations bringing them into captivity under the power of Yahushua. And we have to do that all the time. Brother Shaul was talking about it in Romans 8. I believe it's Romans 8, starting at round 31, about the two laws and his members. You know, when he would do good, he did wrong. You know, it's something in the sense, he's like, it's a presence there. You know, if you go back and you ever read that and understand it, he's like, the spirit, the law is there, but sin is there too. So he absolutely right. It's a presence there. It's something there that what we talked about this past about, we got to expel. We got to get out. We have to come to understand just human nature and what it is and what it's not. Yahweh, he gives us the blueprint. He gives us the example. But we have to apply the blueprint to us. We have to follow the example. You know, it's talking about it, this past Shabbat, is things that's there and been there for a very long time. Land dormant. And every opportunity, they rise up. They rise up, and we're so immune to it, we pay it no mind, and it rises back down, waiting for another opportunity to rise up. But once it rises up, we're supposed to pay attention to it. We're supposed to start studying it. We're supposed to start praying. We're supposed to try. I got to get you out of there. I don't know how long you've been here, but I got to get you out of there. And it's human emotions, period. Human emotions, period. We are human. We are frail. I believe I was just reading in Revelations. Matter of fact, let me go there. Let me read that one, because I don't want to mess that up. But that's perfect. So again, Aki, I see you too. I'm going to go to Revelations. I got to find this real quick, because it's perfect. So, because Yahushua said this. And so I believe it's in Revelations 3. And I'll find round about 19. Give me a chance, family. Give me a chance. 3:19. I don't know if it's that one, but I know I want to read it. and it talks perfectly of what I'm saying. I just read it. I don't like that one. Like, find something. Hopefully it'll come back to me. Because Yahushua talked about how we was zeal for him. He said, but you have little power. I'm trying to find it, because it talks about we have little power, but with the little power, you still prevail. You still stayed on that straight and narrow, even though your power, and I'm guessing he's talking in comparison to what was coming at us, what we were fighting against. Must not be meant for me to read it. Okay, fam. I'm not even going to read it because I can't find it. But if I find it later, I would definitely read it for you because it was powerful for me. It was powerful. Because he talks about we have little power, but yet we still overcame. We still overcame. And maybe I'll find it later. Because what I did want to open up with is Philippians 3:14. We heard this before. And again, stay on that road because, like I said earlier, I had a rough day. Matter of fact, we're going to read and we're going into the Book of Wisdom today, the Book of Wisdom and the Apocrypha. We're going to read a story out of there. Because that story, I've been through that today. Matter of fact, on two levels, man. In fact, to make a long story short, the day was so long when I got there. I got the guy at work. I started my job, got to the day program, and soon I get there. Oh, you got a meeting today at 1 o'clock. Well, okay. I'm like, all right, what they got to meet for more at 1? And this is like I'm sitting in there with three supervisors. But the incident that happened a month ago. And what happened at Mills on Wheels, there has a lady in there she's just not very pleasant. She done lost a lot of volunteers because she's not pleasant. And the day that I didn't come, the supervisor didn't call. But what happens is we have three or four groups that go to Mills on Wheels. I manage one group. And my name is on there for Emerge. So everything that happens with all Emerge, it falls on me, even though I don't manage the other three groups. But they still got me there, and I'm the fall guy for everybody. And she threw me under the bus, and I didn't call for this group. I didn't call for that group. And I'm like, what? And just last week, she called again because the lady got the wrong mail, and I agree with that. I said, you know what, right, the counselor that was on here, she didn't know. She gave the wrong mail. All right, I'll go back, and I'll get the right mail for the counselor. But she wasn't trying to hear that. And she was real indignant. This was just last week. She was just Friday last week. She was real indignant. I mean, real indignant. So I had to call her supervisor because I was surprised that the old Sean Kelly ain't come out and give her some choice words, but I didn't. I called her supervisor, and I let her supervisor know. And be like, Sean, don't worry about it. You've been here for such amount of years. We know you good. And we don't have these type of mistakes. I said, but I know. But I would like to fix it because it looks on my record. Like, don't worry about it. We would call a lady and we would reimburse the lady. All right, but she made it such a bad thing. But when I went back Monday, and I'm not saying this to proud of it. What I'm saying is know who you serve. Oh, well, she ain't come in today. She got real sick this weekend. I mean, she real sick in the hospital sick. touch not his anointed, do his prophets no harm. Because he put our mouth towards Yahweh's son, and Yahweh touched him. I said, oh, yeah? Ain't been there all week. And then the regional manager was there, the one who's over top of the second in command was there. Well, how is she? Because we noticed we loses a lot. But I didn't want to throw her under the bus and everything. I didn't throw her under the bus. I just said she's not a pleasant woman. Oh, you ain't got to worry about it. Because there's a lot of white people here who tells that she's not pleasant. She's not a pleasant woman. But what I worried about is touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. So I had to deal with that today with the 3C brothers. But end up coming out validated again. But it bothered me that all of that happened so long ago, you're going to pull me in for this? And then you don't even know the whole situation? You only took one side? And that bothered me. When I got home, something else hit the fan. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to text Rabbi and let Rabbi know I'm not doing it today. My spirit is low, but here I go. I actually did text him, and due to the grace of Yahweh, he didn't text me back. He usually would text me back with a thumbs up. And I said, oh, man, okay, I hear you. All right, let me get this pity party away from me. Let me get down and get in your spirit and give your word. So here I go. But on top of that is, because we're going to read about how man is today. We're going to read about some of the forces that comes against us and how in their mind they plot against us. And trust and believe, like you have always heard, they watches you. They watches you. Your other coworkers, if you have other coworkers, people around you, they watch you. Your family members, they watching you, and they waiting for you to fall. It's like they came back. The same thing happened yesterday. You know, a couple of groups that went out, which different groups, and they came back drunk. You know, we at work, and the coworker that rides with me, like, oh, y'all went out, y'all had a good time and everything. And one of the coworkers, the male coworkers, he holler, yeah, shorty, you can't get down like that. You ride with the preacher. And she was like, what? I said, so what did you say? Oh, I ain't say nothing. I just brushed it off. But then again, she said, what I said underneath is, well, that's good. That way I know I'll stay out of trouble. Because, you know, I'm not going to drink while I'm at work. I don't like drinking and driving. I will not drink and drive. But to knock them, that's what they do. But we are held to a higher standard and a different standard, and they look at the world, look at you, and they point fingers at you. Scoffers will scoff you. To me, that's a scoff. Like, it's a bad thing to be riding with the preacher. No, that's a good thing to be riding with the preacher. It's not a bad thing. The preacher going to keep you out of trouble as long as he keeps himself out of trouble. Hey, that's funny right there, though. But we in Philippians. I thought I would share that, Sam. I guess Yahweh wanted me to share that. That's why everybody answer the phone or shoot me no text back. 3:14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of Yah in Yahushua HaMashiach. And that's what he wanted to say tonight, family. Keep pressing on. We're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations, and we're going to get straight up some serious stuff thrown at us. Some real heart-wrenching stuff, some stuff that we're going to tell, say to Brother Shaul, hey, Brother Shaul, you're not going to. But Brother Shaul can throw back to, hey, man, my life was in jeopardy a lot. Man, have your life been in jeopardy so bad, people have been outside the door looking to kill you, that they had to lower you down in a basket outside of a side window? Have you even been in prison yet for the word of Yahweh? So these things, it ain't Shaul we're talking to. It's Yahweh who was having that conversation with, right? But in your mind, you think you're talking to Shaul. Hey, no. It's Yahweh. Have you been in prison for the word of Yahweh yet? No. No, Abba. Have you even been persecuted for the word of Yahweh yet? No, I mean, the most thing I could say is my grandmother made me take my kufi off, or wanted me to take my kufi off in our house, and got mad at me because she told me I wasn't raised up that way. That's the worst I could think of, you know. Or I could think of some other things, you know, for the word of Yahweh, but it's not direct in my face for the word of Yahweh, but I know the relationship is sound because of the word of Yahweh. But it's not a direct saying this is why. No, I haven't. Not for that, but now I don't know nobody else who was persecuted for the word of Yahweh. I don't know. I read some stories online about a brother and sister because of how they was living, got their kids taken and got 10 years in prison because they said they was abusing their children. That's being persecuted for the word of Yahweh. No, but it didn't happen to me yet. But they stay strong. Stay strong. The point is, Abba told us, he tells us in his word, he does not lead us blind. We will go through trials and tribulations. We will have hell thrown at us. And we haven't seen nothing yet. As hard as some things have been. Some things were very hard. I mean, very, very hard. Very hard. Actually say that's a direct result of using or worshiping Yahweh. In some cases we can. Some cases we can. But we can all look and say, this is the movement of Satan. And everything, but this is the movement of Satan. Why? Because Satan wants us to say, yes, there is something that will take us away from the love of Yahweh. Not Yahweh's love from us, but us from Yahweh. If he beat us down enough, if he throw everything at us, can't give up of that tzitzit that woman hold on to. And we can't let go. We can't let go at all. We have an example of that, an example of a man who came down, left his abode, left his glory, came down and got again and got in the gutter with us, put on his filth, walked around in his filth, even got that filth beat off him. Satan thought the same thing. You know what? If I can get them to beat him to an inch of his life, he'll give up. He'll give up. And I got him. Salvation is for no one. If once he give up, salvation is for no one. No one can have salvation if he give up. Do you know what he held on? First of all, before we do anything, we first must start in our mind. It first must enter there, and that must be made up. Well, nothing will separate me from the love of Yahweh. That has to start in your mind. Nothing, no matter what I go through. And that's where it started. Not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Thy will be done. Let me not think about myself. Let me think about what I'm doing will help millions, will help the whole world if they allow it. And that's what Abba had to tell me tonight. Hey, it's not about you. What I say through you may help somebody else. And trust and believe, I saw that past Shabbat. By Yahweh speaking through me and then telling me that to tell my story, it helped some other brothers. I saw that. So I know his word is true. I know his word is true. It helps. So it ain't about me. So you, whatever I was going through, hey, it got to go. And I, trust me, I just don't know. I tried. That was my second time trying. You know, as I was riding home and the ride was so long, the van run was 3 hours long because on a Friday in the rain, it's like people can't drive. They drive so slow. They scared to drive. It took 3 hours for a 2-hour van ride. But it took those driving the van and you're sitting behind traffic, you're tired. I tell you, he was just piling on. Oh, yeah. He going to give up. Yahweh didn't let me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's what I've been through today. I've been through that. Scoffers, those who trying to get me off, trying to just, if, because I, like I said, I truly believe when I read this, in the Book of Wisdom, because that's where we're going at, the Book of Wisdom, starting at one. We're going to read a couple chapters, so we're going to be in there a long time. That's in the pocket. So go through. We go through this. Especially if you got a job. Especially if you, even if you're around people a lot. It's something that's attached to those people that start mugging you, that start disliking you for no odd reason. I mean, it's for a reason. We know the reason. It's what dwells in me compared to what dwells in them and what's ruling them. But here's the thing. They may not even know that that's ruling them. So I can't automatically treat them bad. And that's why Yahweh didn't let me lay that sister out with some choice words after she then got busy on me and said some choice words to me. I sat there and I surprised myself, honestly, though, for real. Because I let my mouth be quiet and I didn't say what I wanted to say to that lady. And they always said, okay, you do what I ask you to do. I'll take care of you. I'll fight your battles. And he done that. So I'm living proof again. Another thing, he is confident himself to us. So why not give him all of what we have? He is constantly proving himself to us. You know, I had another person that even my best friend, one of my best friends, Rodney, who even got me the job. You know, I had to use the van for a weekend to go down to get Sean. That was on a Sunday. Oh, you can do it. But I may need you on a Saturday one day, and I'm not trying to say, look, I'm not working on Saturdays no more, man. I'm not working on no more Saturdays. You done lost your mind with that. I'm not doing that. You can keep the van. Look, the exact same thing somebody else said to me. You taking that little faith stuff too far. What? It's all right to have faith and everything, but you know you got to deal with your livelihood. All right? Man, you done lost your mind. What the scripture say? I'm quite sure the scripture came to somebody else's mind too. Don't think about your wealth or something on those lines, because that's the first thing that popped in my mind when he said it. Think about the one who gave you strength to get your wealth. And that's Yahweh. He can take that away anytime he wants. Anytime he wants, he can take my strength away. And I won't have enough money to do anything if I put my faith in that. But like the sister brought out this week, today on that text, Satan hears those proclamations. Satan hears what we say to Abba. And he go back and he do the exact same he did to Job. Oh, yeah? Well, let me do this in this life, Father. I guarantee you I can make him change. I guarantee you I can get him to go back on that. I guarantee I can get him to go back on that. It better be a mandatory thing. That's what I'm going to say. A mandatory thing. Let's go to the wisdom of Solomon in the Book of Apocrypha. Starting at verse 1, starting at verse 15. And this is a story is not actually a story. It's something that y'all gonna hear. But apply your life to it. And hear the scoffers. Hear those who go against you. And this is what Abba is telling us. This is what he showed me that happened today. So righteousness is immortal. But ungodly men, by their hands and their words, summon death, deeming him a friend they penned away. They made a covenant with him because they are worthy to belong with him. And this is Yahweh talking about the unrighteous man. For they said, listen to what he says about the unrighteous. For they said within themselves, with unsound reasoning, our life is short and sorrowful. There is no healing with a man comes to his end. When a man comes to his end, ever known that was released from hell, from the grave. Isn't that what they say? Because we were born by mere chance, and hereafter we will be as though we have never been. Because the breath in our nostrils is smoke, and reason is a spark kindled by the breathing of our heart, which being extinguished, the body will be turned into ashes, and the spirit will be dispersed as thin air. That's what they think. That's how they think. Our name will be forgotten in time. No one will remember our works. Our life will pass away as the traces of a cloud, and will be scattered as in a mist. When it is chased by the rays of the sun and overcome by its heat. For our allotted time is the passing of a shadow, and our end doesn't retreat. Because it is short, securely sealed, and no one turn it back. Come, therefore, let us enjoy the good things that now exist. Let us use the creation earnestly as in our youth. Listen to him. Let us fill ourselves with costly wine and perfumes, and let us let no spring flowers pass us by. Let's crown ourselves with rosebuds before they wither. Let not us go without his share in our proud rivalry. Let's leave tokens of myrrh everywhere, because this is our portion and this is our lot. Let's oppress the righteous. Now this is where we get into it. Let's not spare the widow, nor reverence the gray hair of the old man. And it's the opposite of what Abba tells us to do. It is the very opposite of what Abba tells us to do. Why? Because as our old Reverend Ike said, I want my pie in the sky now. And this is the world that we live in. This is the world that comes against us. These are the people, the ungodly, that comes against the righteous. Let us oppress the righteous poor. Let us not spare the widow, nor reverence the gray hair of the old man. But let our strength be a law of righteousness, so that which is weak is proven useless. A lot of countries feel this way. We talk about whole countries. But let our strength be a law of righteousness, so that which is weak is proven useless. Not countries, men. But let us lie and wait for the righteous man, because he annoys us. Now here we're getting into it. This is how they feel for a righteous man, a righteous woman. But let us lie and wait for the righteous man, because he annoys us. You yourself, you know that. You have been witness to that, because somebody can't stand your guts because you serve Yahweh. They may not say it outright, but they feel, and you know they feel that way. You know it. It's contrary to our works, reproaches us with sin against the law, and charges us with sins against our training. He professes to have knowledge of Yah and calls himself a child of the Mighty One. He became to us a reproof of our thoughts. Again, family, this is what the world we live in. This is what we got to press forward, because it's not just ourselves that we got to fight. It's the outside forces that we got to fight to. We're still talking about spiritual warfare. And I love this one right here, though. Listen to it. Understand this one. He becomes to us a reproof of our thoughts. Why did the brother, think about what the brother said to the guy on the job, say to my coworker, you ride with the preacher. In other words, if we was riding with the preacher, we wouldn't be able to drink. Preacher's right there. I'm not going to bring that up. And the preacher right there, the righteous is right there. You yourself, you've been through that. But over here, when we ain't around him, we ain't even got to worry about him. But we get around him, oh, man, I got to watch my language. I got all my coworkers, they say that. Oh, excuse me, Sean. I'm like, hey, y'all growing. I mean, but I don't act like that I want them to stop and just because I'm around, I'm glad they give me the respect. But hey, you grown. And I come to, hey, I expect that out of you. But if they want to change, and because they're around me, that's honor and glory to Abba. Honor, not to me, to Abba. Honor and glory to him. He is grievous to us, even to look at. That's funny. Because his life is unlike other men's, and his paths are strange. How many times, man, this is for sisters, brothers, ancestors, believers, the righteous, they look at you like that. What is it? He is grievous to look at. He is grievous to us to look at, because his life is unlike other men's and his paths are strange. You're strange to the world. You're an enigma. Especially them sisters that's walking around righteous and being modest in this day and time. What? The freedom of a woman today, what she can wear? What she can wear next to nothing outside, and no man has a right to say anything out of the way to her. That's what's being taught. Actually, he don't have no right. But come on. You walked outside with some shorts on, up the wazoo, a halter top on, and the first thing you don't think a man gonna say something to you out of the way. But the righteous sister, she walks outside modest. She walks outside covered. She's not revealing nothing. He's going to honor her. He's going to honor her, but not to that woman who is out there looking like she's a woman of the streets or a woman of the night. She look at that righteous sister, and she's going to turn her face upside down. Her mug going to break down. I'm quite sure you sisters have encountered that. They're mugging you. Why are they mugging you? Because you're an affront to them. You tell them there's a better way just by your lifestyle. Brothers, we tell them there's a better way just by our lifestyle. But that thing that's attached to them ain't trying to hear. So you become strange to them. You become a reproach to them. They hate to even look at you. We represent something. Family. We represent Yahweh, period. 16. We were regarded by him as worthless metal, and he abstained from our ways as from uncleanness. He calls the latter end of the righteous happy. He boasts that Yah is his father. Listen to what they're saying. This is how they think. This is how the world thinks. We regard it by him as worthless metal. Not that any righteous person will ever look at any other human being and look down on them. We should not do that. That is not the character that's within us. That is not what Abba gave us. To ever look down on another human being of what state of mind they is in. We're supposed to always to try to get where they are so we can uplift them. But because of their mind and how the state of mind that they're in, they look at us and think that we think of that way of them. I'm quite sure y'all heard it because I heard it many times. You ain't better than me. Hey, what? Where'd that come from? You know, I'm not, how in the world I get in the conversation? But I didn't hear it. Same thing with these people are saying. They look at us worthless as we are not worthless metal. No believer should ever look at anybody in this world system like that. Anybody. Because we know Yahushua sat with the sinners and the publicans. That's where he went. He went down there. But it's something that that is attached to them to make them feel that way about you. It's not us who projecting that. And there may be somebody, some of us, quote unquote believers, who project that, who has that air about them, I'm better than you. Because Yahushua gave us a story. See, the word covers everything. He gave us a story about that. So in the man's eye, and y'all quite sure those who had that spirit running, they probably know where I'm going at. All before that, before I even said, y'all know where I'm going at. Know where the spirit led me. Because the spirit is leading you at the same time. And if not, don't worry about it. You'll catch up to it. Yahushua gave us a parable about two men. One was a rabbi, I believe, and one was a sinner, I believe. I'm paraphrasing. If somebody want, they can send me the scripture. Said the rabbi went to the altar. He stood up with his head up. And the first thing he pointed to was this sinner. Father, thank you that I'm not like this sinner. Thank you that I do this, I do that, I'm doing this. But his bottom line is, I'm not like this sinner. So some people do project that they are better than others because they serve in Yahweh. Then I dare to say, now then I will say it, you don't serve Yahweh when you have that type of mindset. You do not serve Yahweh. Whenever you're thinking you're better than other people out here in this world, because you serve Yahweh, you are not serving the Mighty One. You are serving yourself. Because that's not the spirit that Abba put inside of us, to think that we are better than somebody else. But yet, that's why Yahushua gave us the parable. Because Israel was doing that, and we still see Israel doing that. We still see Israel doing it. Still see we better, even those who are awakening. Those who are awakening, they're awakening to pride filled, and it's about them now. It's never been about totally Israel, I'm going to say that. It's always about Yahweh and doing his will. Always about. A pet peeve of mine when people say the Old Testament is a Jewish Bible and the New Testament is a Christian Bible. There's no such thing as a Jewish or Christian Bible. There's no such thing as an Israelite Bible. There's none. No such thing as an Israelite, Jewish Bible, Christian Bible, Hebrew Bible. It's none of that. It is the word of Yahweh, period. It is his word. And once we start thinking it's ours and putting titles of Jewish, Hebrew, Christian, we have moved away from the Spirit of Yahweh. We've moved away from that. I love how Yahweh leads and guides us. He leads and guides us with the Spirit of Yahushua, because the Spirit of Yahushua came to point everybody back to the Father. Everybody back to the Father. And he is worthy to be praised by us. But he came to point, hey, it's his world. It's his. He is the ultimate one. And we can't, as believers, stop thinking in us. But we just wanted to prove a point. I went off on a tangent on that one, though. Well, I'll stop there. 16 again, family. We were regarded by him as worthless metal, and he abstained from our ways as from uncleanness. He called the latter end of the righteous happy. He boasts that Yah is his father. Let us see if his words are true. Let's test what will happen at the end of his life. See, now they're plotting to kill this man. They're plotting to kill him. And people may not plot to kill you today, but they may plot to destroy your reputation. And that's killing a sister or a brother or sister. They try to do that to your reputation. But all Yahweh say is hold tight. Stay the way. Stay in the right path. And I got you. Now, there's some strain that people may kill you, but not right now. We're talking about right now and what a believer goes up against. So if the righteous man is Yah's son, he will uphold him and he will deliver him out of the hands of his adversaries. That remind y'all of something, right? Remind y'all of something. You know, that old serpent. So same thing when he tempted Yahushua. Let's test him with outrage and torture that we may find out how gentle he is and test his patience. Listen to it, fam. Let me read it again. Let me slow it down again. Let's test him with outrage and torture that we may find out how gentle he is and test his patience. I felt that. You know, that's why I've been through that. I've been through that this week, this right here. They want to get you mad. They want to knock you off the straight and narrow path. Let me get them upset. And for some of us, it's too easy for us to get upset. It's too easy for us to get upset. Walk this way 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and we're still getting upset at a drop of a dime. Allow the Ruach to calm you. Allow... Everything does not have to get in. I had to tell Mackenzie that. Everything does not have to get in. McShawn A2. Everything does not have to get into your spirit. What gets into your spirit is what we allow in our spirit. What gets us off our rockers, we allow it to get there. We allow it to take root. We start marinating on it, and it starts to growing. And when it starts to growing, blah, we out with it. We then went off the rooftop. I'm going to give you an example. And no, yeah, well, I can give you an example because we're supposed to have a spirit within us. This man was to the point where you wouldn't recognize him. If you saw him face to face just before the beating, after the beating, you wouldn't recognize him. But the scripture said he opened not his mouth. Now, I don't think we've been beat like that before. I don't think that we had to go through some lashes like that, our flesh being ripped off. And we're losing control of our tongue. We're losing control of our emotions. We're going off the deep handle. Remember, there's an outside force that's coming against us, and there's another force within us that's going to come against the Ruach HaKodesh. What did Yahushua say? You clean the inside of the cup, and the outside should be clean. So we're dealing with both sides right now. We're going to deal with the outside forces, and we got to deal with the inside forces. Why? Because we want to be right. We want to be perfect. And if you have problems with me saying we want to be perfect, then talk to me tomorrow and we talk about it. I won't even dismiss it. Talk to me tomorrow and we can talk about it. We want to be holy in this world system. We want to be lights in this world system. And this world system is designed to make us, let me go back, 19, test him with outrage and torture that we may find how gentle he is and test his patience. That's what this world system is for. It's designed to do that against the righteous person, against the believer. Now, let's leave that believer alone, the righteous. That's Yahweh call us. Yahweh call us his righteous ones. He called us to be holy and set apart. Be ye holy as I am holy. I gave you righteous ways. Walk in them. Be ye righteous. This world system is designed to go against us. It's not just people. You know, it's everybody was outside of the will of Yahweh. And they might not even know they're being used by the adversary. They don't know for the most part, but there's few who do know. There's few who know that they are very nasty. And Yahweh would deal with them, but not when you want them to, but when his time, he'll deal with them. And like we talked about this past Shabbat, about Antiochus, they're going to know why they're going through what they're going through. Because he's going to put it on their mind. 19, one more time. Let us test him with outrage and torture, that we may find out how gentle he is and test his patience. Test his patience. Outrage. They want to see how gentle. Hey, if you're really a believer, I understood, and I heard some things about this Yahushua. You could be one of his Talmudim, one of his disciples. Let's see if you really confess him, if you really that what you said you are. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for he will be overseen according to his words. Thus they reasoned, and they were led astray, for the wickedness blinded them, and they didn't know the mysteries of Yah. And remember, fam, this is Yah talking to Brother Shlomo, Brother Solomon, how the wicked is towards the righteous. We get a chance, start at 1 and read all the way through. Start at chapter 1, verse 1, and it'll build up for you. 21 again. Thus they reasoned, and they were led astray, for their wickedness blinded them. And they didn't know the mysteries of Yah, neither did they hope for wages of holiness, nor did they discern that there is a prize for blameless soul. They have no clue that there is a prize for blameless soul. We talked about that towards the prize earlier in Philippians. So these writings, they don't even have a clue what Yahweh have in store for us. They don't even have a clue what he have in store for them. Because trust me, they getting the prize, but it ain't the one they want. We read that in 2nd Ezra chapter 7. I mean, is that 2nd Ezra? Yep, 2nd Ezra chapter 7. We read that. Yahweh showed that to us. They don't have a clue about that prize he going to give us. Let me read that again. I like that. And they didn't know the mysteries of Yah, neither did they hope for wages of holiness. See, that's us. And while we're walking in righteousness and holiness, we hoping, we have a hope that what we're doing It's going to pay off in the end. It's going to pay off in the end. Know that they discern that there is a prize for the blameless souls, because Yah created man for incorruption and made him an image of his own everlastingness. But death entered into the world by the envy of the devil, and those who belong to him experienced it. Amen. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of Yah. Now, we're going from 3 all the way down to 14, family. We're not going to read this one all the way up. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of Yah, and the torment will touch them. And no torment will touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died. Their departure was considered affliction. And these are the ones who actually put those righteous ones to death. They scourged them, they whipped them, they beat them. They wanted to see if he would act out. And we know that's talking about Yahushua. But we know that his life and our life is supposed to mirror one another, supposed to mirror one another, supposed to mirror one another. So it points to us too as believers. Let me read that again. In their eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died. Their departure was considered affliction, and their travail away from us ruin. But they are in shalom. They are in shalom. Those who suffered for the word of Yahweh and was put to death for the word of Yahweh and was scoffed for the word of Yahweh, had a horrible life for the word of Yahweh and held on for the word of Yahweh. When they die, they are in shalom with the scripture Yahushua called it Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom. But they held on. They did not give up. They endured to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For even if in the sight of men they are punished, their hope is full of immortality. Let's understand this. Let's get into this scripture here. We may be going through some serious hell. Some serious hell. Serious hell. We may have lost something that was so dear to us. And what happened? People around you started looking. Hold on. They supposed to believe in God. How they lose that? They supposed to believe in the Creator. How are they going through that? How are they going through that? They supposed to believe in the Creator. Huh? How are they going through that? They supposed to believe. You mean to tell me they didn't give up on the Creator? They still worshiping the Creator? And he took that? He did that? Their life is a living hell? They going through that? And they still didn't give up on the Creator? What do you say? For even if in the sight of men they are punished, their hope is full of immortality. Even though if we're going through hell at the end, this mortal won't put on immortality. And that's what the scriptures say. Where did Shaul get that from? Shaul was reading the book of wisdom, and Yahweh told him something. He led him somewhere as he was writing that letter. About the flesh putting on immortality. Amen. Having borne a little chastening, amen, they will receive great good because Yah tested them and found them worthy of himself. So what did Brother Shaul say about his thorn in his flesh? What did he say, fam? We know the word. We know. And if you don't know, I'm going to say it. Scripture says, Brother Shaul became a fool, knowing that he had the mercy, the glory of Yah on him. He became a fool and glorying, knowing that the mercy of Yahweh was upon him. He prayed earnestly 3 times, I will remove this. But Yahweh said to him, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, through your weakness. And once Brother Shaul understood that he had the power, the mercy of Yahweh on him, so he became a fool in the glory. It's like he went out and told everybody, and they looked at him, oh, my brother, man, you just got out of prison. What you so happy about? Boy, I got a place in the kingdom. I got your spot in the kingdom. That's why I just got out of prison. Yes, somebody just tried to take my life. And at the end, yes, they took my life, but that's all right. I got a place in the kingdom. So I'm going through what I have to go through down here. Because I'm like Shaul, I believe the mercy of Yahweh is upon me. It's upon me. Because I believe his word, and I believe what he shows me. He has proved himself to me, like he said. Read 5 again, family. Having borne a little chastening, they received great good because Yah tested them and found them worthy of himself. He tested them like gold in the furnace, and he accepted them as a whole burnt offering. I mean, somebody sent that today, right? Somebody sent that out. Somebody sent that about how silver is tried in the fire, or gold is tried in the fire. He's talking about his righteous ones, his believers. He said he tested them like gold in a furnace, and he accepted them as a whole burnt. Shaul been reading the book of wisdom. And these people who don't know Yah's word believe that Shaul just writing to be right. You know, that's 2 scriptures right there. He said he tested them like gold in the furnace, and he accepted them as a whole burnt offering. That's 2 scriptures right there we read in the quote-unquote New Testament. We read both of them. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah, but I'm telling you, Yahweh is good. He is good. In the time of their visitation, they will shine. They will run back and forth like sparks among stubble. They will judge nations. Oh, my goodness. Here we go again. They will judge nations and have dominion over peoples. Yahweh will reign over them forever. We see Shaul. Shaul was reading the book of wisdom, family. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm just so happy. Just so happy. Those who trust him will understand truth. The faithful will live with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his chosen ones. Hold up, man. Grace and mercy only for the New Testament. How in the world, all the way back here, we talking about grace and mercy? Huh? It's only in for the New Testament. That's something new that just popped up. No, that's been around. Grace and mercy has been around since Noah. He said Noah found favor, found grace in my eyes. Huh? Adam and Kawa found grace in his eyes, because he could have struck them down right then and there. He didn't. He clothed them. He put them out the garden. But they found grace and mercy in his eyes. If you know and understand what grace and mercy is. Let me read that again. Those who trust him will understand truth. The faithful will live with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his chosen one. But the ungodly will be punished, even as they reason. those who neglect righteousness and revolted from Yahweh. For he who despises wisdom and discipline is miserable. Oh, my goodness. For he who despises wisdom and discipline is miserable. Their hope is void, and their toils unprofitable. Their works are useless. Their wives are foolish, and their children are wicked. Their descendants are cursed, because barren women who is undefiled is happy. She who has not conceived in transgression, she will have fruit in the visitation of souls. Amen. So is the eunuch which has done no lawless deed with his hands, nor imagined wicked things against Yahweh. For a precious gift will be given to him for his faithfulness, a special favor and delightful inheritance in Yahweh's sanctuary. Hallelujah. For good labors have fruit of great renown. The root of understanding shall. Hallelujah. We just went through that. Y'all can finish reading that out. If y'all want family, y'all can go and read that. The book of Wisdom is a very, 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 very good book. I love it. I love reading it. It always fills me when I read it. Always. Because Brother Shomo, we know Brother Solomon was showing some things. Yeah, we had that brother. We know he gave him wisdom. He gave him wisdom. But it's a very good book, and it's empowering to a believer. It's empowering once you read it and you start believing. The whole word is empowering. But we look in here and we see where Brother Shaul has pulled a lot from. He's pulled a lot. But one more scripture, family. Oh, wow. I didn't know it was going to be that late. And we're going to end with that. We're going to end with what's the master, Yahushua. In Revelations, we're going back to, hopefully I read what I said I was going to read, and it pop up what came to mind earlier. And we read, starting at Revelations 3:7-13, family. To the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia write, and this is Yahushua HaMashiach, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has taken the key of David, he who opens and no one can shut, and he and who shuts and no one opens, says these things. I know your works. And family, take this personal. Take this person, take this as if Yahushua is telling this straight to you. Straight to you. I know your works. And you know, they got something in parentheses. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one can shut. That you have a little power. There we go. That's what I was talking about. Right there. You know what? Now I said, wait for it. That you have a little power and kept my word and didn't deny my name. Understand that, sir. Just the little bit of Ruach we get, we're overcoming. We now have a lot of Ruach right now. A little power, we are using that. We are using that little bit of power. Little bit of power. We're using it. Okay. Okay, I'm getting some texts here. All right, I'll turn. Oh my goodness! Excuse me, family. Let me get back to that right there. I'll be right here. We go again. Back at 7:8 again, family. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one can shut. That you have a little power, and kept my word, and didn't deny my name. Behold, I give some of the synagogue of Satan, of those who say they are Yahudis, and they are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Mama fam, take this personal. Believe this. Let this resonate within your spirit that what Yahushua is saying. He said, they have to come and worship at our feet, who we are, because he loved us. Why? Because even with the little bit he gave us, we didn't deny him. We kept his word. We kept his word, and we didn't deny him. Because you kept my command to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come on the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And we know when that's coming. We read about that in the last two chapters of the book, second book of Ezra. Go back and read that. That's what's coming upon this world and where he say Israel going to be. That's what he's talking about. Let's rightly divide this word here. Go back, because there's some sure enough going to come on this world. Trials and tribulations is coming, but in that, Yahushua said, I'm going to keep you. What do you say? Because you have kept my command to endure. I will also keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come on the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Listen, family, I am coming quickly. Hold firmly that which you have so that no one takes your crown. Hold on, family. Yahushua said he's coming. He said he's coming. Let no one take your crown. The world is built to hate believers, period. Ain't too much explaining about that. Just take the word hate and put it towards the world. Why? How we know that? Yahushua told us that too. If the world hate me, know that it's going to hate you too. Know that it's going. It's built that way. It's made that way. That's how the adversary have put it. And he have took that to the believers. But here's what we know. Here's what we have to understand. That's Abba's will. Because Abba do not want a whole lot on his side. Because he wants to show his might. All he wants is willing hearts. People, brothers and sisters who are willing to endure, who are willing to keep his word and do his commandments. That's all he wants. We reading that. We do. Let's take why we are in the book of Maccabees and all it's talking about is war against Israel, how these people hated Israel. They hate his people. And you know, at that moment, Greece represents the whole world. Matter of fact, they included the whole world. We just read this past week where they had allies from all as far as India coming to fight against this little bit of people. But the little bit of people put their guards down. They put their guards down because they got tired of war. So they took the right hand of fellowship from a people they should not have took the right hand of fellowship from. And it turned on them immediately as they got inside. Let that marinate right there. They turned on them immediately as after they got inside of the walls. Let them, the walls, the strong brothers, that brother D.U.L. brought out, and the strong sisters. Once they got inside that wall, they turned on them immediately. So we can't get tired of fighting, family. One guitar, just like Moshe had to do there. He had to run up under Moshe's arm. Brother, sister, get up under each other's arms. We cannot get tired of this fight. Cannot get tired. 11 again. I am coming quickly. Hold firmly that which you have, so that no one takes your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my Shawa, of my El. Look at that. Look at that. This is Yahushua. Did you not get it? Yahushua actually telling them, yes, I have something that's greater than me. I have a mighty one. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my mighty one. And he will go out from there no more. I will write on him the name of my mighty one and the name of the city of my mighty one, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my mighty one, and my own new name. These are the names Yahushua going to write on us, family. Right? And what we call that? That is a permanent seal. That is a permanent seal. That seal cannot be broken. Because we go back and we go up into Revelation. Revelation's talking about a seal, which is the name of the Father and the name of the Son. That is a permanent seal that is being written on us. When Yahushua will come and set up the kingdom, we will have that permanent seal on. We will be sealed. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, I want be encouraged. Be encouraged. We are walking and we are doing what Abba asks us to do. And yes, we have an adversary out there who's coming. But if we rebuke him, he'll flee. That don't mean he won't stay long gone, because he's coming. He's coming right back. So let's continue this tomorrow. You know, Brother Harvell said he has some mighty word. Brother Diggy Well going to have some word. Let's keep that praise coming. So he will be, he can't come in. He can't come in that sanctuary. And every other thing that's in there get ran out of there. As a matter of fact, it was a battle. A battle in the hallway last week. I don't know if the other brothers understood it or saw it, but it was a battle in the hallway last week. We had to run that unclean spirit out of it. I saw, I understood, I had to talk to Yaakov Rabbi about it. I said, did you understand? I said, did you hear when we was out there praying, you was praying, that the woman preacher started praying, and she started getting loud. We was outside that door. She started to get loud. Brother Yaakov started to get loud. And we were, okay, well, who's the mighty one? Eventually, she got quiet, and we heard no more from her. Yeah, Brother Yaakov, the beauty of Yahweh, he said, yeah, I heard her. That's why I start getting loud. Hallelujah. It's a battle, family. Be on that path. And do we have to do? Go back, them brothers who was out there in the hallway. Go back and let that marinate and bring it back to mind. And you'll remember. Every time he prayed, she got loud. He got loud. And we started saying, hallelujah. Shut him down. Hit him like 5, 6 hallelujahs in the row. And they got quiet. Matter of fact, they started coming out. It was closing up shop by then, because Yahweh is the mighty one. He is, but that don't mean the adversary ain't going to try us. He's going to try. Matter of fact, he's going to do his job. He's going to do his job well, family. So be encouraged. Let me close out with a prayer, family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Todah Abiyah. Todah for strengthening us. Todah for sending your son down, Father, and showing us the way. All we have to do is walk in his footsteps, Father. Stay on that straight and narrow, Father. But you said in your word, even if a righteous man falls, you uphold him with your left, with your right hand, Father. So even if we fall to the left or to the right, righteous man or righteous woman, that you're going to uphold us, Father. Father, we believe in your word, and we'll hold that word. We remind you of your word when it happens. Because we know you're going to remind us of your word when we go to the left and to the right. So we thank you, Father, for even our little chastening. We thank you. Because in the end, if we endure, we shall have shalom with you. Put on this immortality. So, hallelujah. And once again, Father, Abba. Watch over the brothers and sisters. Strengthen those who need strength. in all aspects and everything in their life, Father. Let us pray, Father. Let me pray, Father, that we keep coming together, that we keep becoming one accord, Father, that we keep speaking the same things, Father. Continue to unify us, Father. Continue to bring us together, whether we have thorns in our flesh or not, Father. Continue to bring us together as one Mishpachah under your Son. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, friend. Shabbat shalom, Abba. Amen.